Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Welcome to the Spotlight on Fightful, the Creator Spotlight. This is Steven Jensen, joined as always by Jeremy Lambert. And our guest today is someone who's doing a lot in the world of independent wrestling right now. Where do we start? He's one half of the IWTV Independent Wrestling World Tag Team Champions with Jaden Newman. He is the current H2O Hybrid Champion. He was last year's winner of the Action Future Showcase Tournament. He's this year's winner of the 2025 CNSN Invitational SCI Tournament. He is the Deathmatch Diva, Jameson Shook. Jameson, welcome back to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing incredible. Still kind of riding the high from the weekend. It's finally set in. I'm in a lot of pain and my head hurts, but I leaked a lot of juice during the finals. But overall, I'm doing pretty good.
Well, you sure did leak a lot of juice over the weekend in front of the fans that love you in the Chattanooga, Tennessee area at the TWE Arena. I think we'll probably start off with the SCI. I got a lot to cover today because you do have a lot going on and a lot since we talked to you last. You were on here around maybe 6 months or so ago. I feel like it wasn't that long ago, maybe a little longer. But you've accomplished a lot since the last time you were here. So we got a lot to cover. SCI this year. All right. First night, you start off against Gary J. Night one, SCI. Oh, Gary J has been wrestling like 20 years longer than you have. For people who don't know, Jameson's been wrestling for around 3 years, has around 300 matches, which is unreal. First off, what was it like getting in there with Gary J, mixing it up in that first round? And then we'll get on to the rest of the tournament. But Gary J in that opening match, he's meant a lot to the SCI tournament, competed in it many times.
I'm really happy that was my first round match. My chest wasn't, but I'm very happy it was my first match. On the inside, well, even part of the inside said no, but on the inside, I'm very happy that was my first match. To me, Gary is like an independent just icon, like in my mind he is. So getting to mix it up with him in the first round was really cool. Hits like a truck, so that's cool. I almost killed him there at SCI when I dumped him on the infamous media center chairs. But It was a really cool experience getting to wrestle Gary J. I'd love to do it again.
I liked that opening round match, and then that led to the next day, the second round. You take out Cruel, which is somebody who doesn't take too many losses anywhere in any company that he's in. And usually to take Cruel down, you got to like literally kill that man. And you guys had a banger for like, it was like less than 10 minutes, all out. You mentioned the media center chairs. You guys used those in that one as well. But what was it like then, of course, mixing up with Cruel, somebody who's got so much clout and doing so much like in like the greater landscape of wrestling as well, and, of course, IWTV. You get that huge win over him. That place went insane when you got that 1-2-3.
Well, I mean, what a draw for the first two rounds, by the way.
Yeah.
Gary J and then Cruel. Again, that was a match that I had on my own radar for about a year now. Because, I mean, I think Cruel's awesome.
Yeah.
I think Cruel's great. Scary. And he's great. I love it. But it was, again, super fun. This time I almost died because of the media center chairs. My back hitting the top edge of it during the fall-away slam. That was fun. But... again, Cruel, like you said, doing a lot and not just wrestling, not independent wrestling, just wrestling in general. So, again, really cool and, like, means a lot to me that I got to do that in the second round.
And then, of course, we get to the last round. They do the four-way elimination match, and you're in there with guys that you got a lot of history with, these guys. Especially, I don't know if cage match is accurate because it isn't always, but it says that Casey Owens was your first match ever. Is that correct?
That's not correct.
Okay.
He was my fourth match.
Oh, okay. So they were close, but they didn't get your first match. We'll circle back around to that. I'm interested in what your first match was because I don't know if we've talked about that before. But Casey Owens, someone you definitely have a lot of history with, along with these other guys. It basically comes down to the two of y'all. You guys have like a match within the match with, you know, I mean, you hit him with multiple DVDs. He hits you with his knee tremblers. He hits you with all his stuff. He hits you with, I don't know what he calls it, but I always call it the Ode to Luigi, because that's what Curt Stallion called it, like that jumping, diving headbutt and all that stuff. You guys hit each other with everything. Ultimately, you hit him. You had to go deep. You know, you've been using that DVD a lot, but I've also seen you whip out that Psycho Driver when you need to, and that's what you did. What was the experience like, you know, I, of course, being in there with those guys and then ultimately winning this tournament?
Again, like with the first two rounds, Mad Dog, what a draw. So, I mean, that was rough. Chain just right across my forehead. And then I was leaking pretty badly. I'll tell you this. After the match, after the show in general, I'd stopped bleeding. It was nice. And then all of a sudden, like, it slowly starts coming out again, which is fine. I can handle that. By the time we end up leaving, which is about an hour and a half later, I'm just covered. Like, I'm covered all over again. I have to go change clothes. I have to change everything that I'm wearing because I have just bled all over the TWE building one more time. And that wasn't very fun. And we went out and ate at IHOP afterwards. And that was a sight to behold. And I had this bandage wrapped around my head, and it kept bleeding through the bandage. So I had I asked Jaden to wear his DX Army hat. I have a picture somewhere. So I'm wearing this DX Army hat, and in the middle of an IHOP, covered in blood. But that finals matchup, that was really cool. All three of those guys are great. Mad Dog killing it everywhere. Hunter Drake, I mean, Hunter's the man. And Casey's probably the best up-and-comer in the South. I mean, he's great. He is the man. So doing it with those three, very interesting final.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting final because, like, I would say, like, three of the four, not counting Mad Dog because he's kind of his own entity, but three of the four have kind of built their names in the Southeast, which is really cool to me. And it's nice that you can trust three guys in the Southeast to carry the final of this very prestigious independent wrestling tournament. So it's special to me. It's really cool. This whole tournament was just great. I loved it.
I was going to ask about the IHOP and what kind of looks you may have gotten from patrons or a waiter or waitresses who had to serve you.
They didn't want to sit me. They wanted me to
really?
Leave. Yeah, they just wanted me to leave. But, I mean, I just wanted their pancakes. That's all I wanted. I just wanted some strawberry banana pancakes, for God's sakes.
Strong choice.
Oh.
Strawberry banana pancakes are a strong choice.
They were like, no, we don't have time for pancakes. You got to go to the hospital, buddy. We ain't giving you no pancakes.
No. I needed my pancakes.
I'm glad you eventually did get your pancakes, and
it took 45 minutes, but I got them.
Oh, so. Well, they saw
they
you
were delicious.
Oh, they
saw you bleeding. Like, I don't know about serving this guy. I don't. We sure we won't even serve him. Oh, what's the aftermath been? You mentioned you're still a little sore, a little banged up, but you know, people you heard from, and just these past few days now that you have won the tournament and maybe is soaked in a little bit.
Well, getting some of the messages from people are really cool. Like a Daniel Makabe sending a congratulations is very nice. One called Manders, that's very nice. But a bunch of other people related to SCI sending me messages and stuff is really cool. But the one thing I got messages the most about was after the match with the Jimmy Rave tribute. That's been one of the things I've gotten a lot of messages about. And everything I say, I truly believe in that ring. I think Jimmy Rave is the greatest wrestler of all time. So people in the Southeast, and there would be no Southeastern scene without Jimmy Rave. So people seeing that, I got a lot of messages for that, which was really cool. But I've gotten a lot of messages from not just you guys, but many other podcasters to the point where it is 14 straight days where I have to do a podcast.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool.
enjoy answering the same questions over and over again.
I hope we're first before you get all these again.
I'm kidding. I love everything. I love all that I'm doing right now, and it's really cool. And the third show I'm about to run got a lot of publicity out of it. So that's pretty cool. But it's still, I'm still riding a high, which is nice. It'll come down on Friday when I have to wrestle again, but it's nice while it's lasting for now.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. You know, you talking about Jimmy Rave after the match, and you know, you're holding the Greg Hollander trophy, which, you know, obviously means a lot. The SCI tournament, legitimately one of the most prestigious wrestling tournaments annually every year. I mean, and you didn't just talk about Jimmy Rave in there. You made it clear that you are next up for Aaron Wade as well, and that TWE World Championship, that undisputed title that he's been holding. Please give us your thoughts on Aaron Wade and maybe a message to him or to the TWE fans about your intentions of, you know, getting that championship from Wade.
So, I mean, so you wanted to ask me what my first match was. Aaron Wade was actually my first match.
Perfect.
There's the topics. That's perfect. I don't see, and he beat me in my first match, but it was my first match. I was a child. Still am. But, I don't see a better way of me winning my home show's championship than beating the guy who I had my debut against. At Anniversary 12 on August 23rd, I would love nothing more than, unless he loses it before then, which is very possible, because that'll be 30 days between them. But I would love nothing more than it to be Aaron Wade. It makes me salivate. It makes me very happy just to think about it. It's about all I got for that one.
Okay.
All the thoughts I have for it.
One more follow-up based on the stuff you brought up in the ring afterwards. You mentioned it a moment ago, and we'll talk a bit more about it, I'm sure, as well. But you do have your next show coming up that you're promoting. Jameson Shook presents My Kink is Karma. And you're going to be taking on John Wayne Murdoch for the American Deathmatch Championship. You're becoming more and more well known. I mean, obviously your career has been very short, but you've had, like, as we mentioned, almost 300 matches. And you're becoming more and more well known in the deathmatch scene, known as the Deathmatch Diva. John Wayne Murdoch, for my money, one of, if not the top deathmatch wrestlers in the world right now. What can fans expect from this? I'm like laughing as I think about this, because I know you guys are gonna kill each other out there, and I'm looking forward to it. So for people out there, let people know what to expect out of you versus JWM for that American Deathmatch Championship.
Fucking a lot of broken glass. On SCI was bad. Oh, boy. Well, it's fitting because, like, almost a year ago was my first show. And I was supposed to wrestle John Wayne. And it was actually kind of like around this time where I learned that John wouldn't be able to make my show, which is, again, I've talked about it on many places. No heat there. Go get your money, man. Absolutely. I don't blame you at all. GCW is a way bigger show than whatever the hell I'm doing. So go make your money. Go do that. I don't blame you at all. But, and I don't know if he'll mind me sharing this, but I'm going to share it anyways. John messaged me after my second show. And immediately asked me for the date for the third show. So, and then he wins the American Deathmatch title in Japan. Okay. It's a title that when I first stepped foot as an independent wrestler 2.5 years ago with well over 300 matches that I just wanted to hold. Like, so doing it in that building, a week after the biggest weekend of my career. I mean, that would become the biggest weekend of my career after that. I don't know. It's pretty cool because I do believe John Wayne Murdoch is probably the ace of American Deathmatch Wrestling. It's not just a nickname. It's the truth. So getting to finally have this match is really cool, and I'm very excited for this match. Not for the aftermath. But for the match, not the aftermath.
You mentioned the first show, and I think we had you on just before your first show last year. It was after you won Futures last year.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yes. You didn't face John Wayne Murdoch that show. You ended up facing Matt Tremont, which, I mean, if you're going to find a replacement for John Wayne Murdoch, you can't do much better than Matt Tremont. Like, so you mentioned that John Wayne wasn't there because he went to GCW. So getting Tremont in that spot and then having to face him, I assume the preparation wasn't too different. It's like, well, they're going to kind of do the same shit to me regardless. But it wasn't. How that came together.
So Tremont wasn't the first person I messaged, which it should have been. Looking back, I mean, what a dummy I am. But the Murdoch stuff happens. No heat, all good. The first person I actually message is, like, back then, Dylan Hales. Because I'm a child still. I'm running my first ever show, and I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out because my show's 2 weeks away, and I'm not wrestling anybody as of right now. So the first person I message is Brandon Kirk, because that was a bucket list one for me, was Brandon Kirk, hence the psycho driver for the finish at SCI. He couldn't do it. All good. No issues there. Then it was Matt Tremont. Then it was, oh, yeah, I'm free that day. I said, all right. And then I wrestled possibly the greatest deathmatch wrestler ever, possibly. In my first real death match, so that was cool. But now that I have more experience, now that I have way more death matches under my belt against very good death match wrestlers like a Dr. Redacted or a Tommy Vendetta or an Otis Koger, now I feel like I'm ready for this Murdoch match, because part of me was thinking that might just be the universe telling me I'm not ready for that yet. And now it's here, and now I think I'm ready, and I'm ready to become the American Deathmatch Champion. That's going to be cool, and I can't wait.
Speaking of Tremont, I mentioned at the top, current reigning defending H2O Hybrid Champion is yourself. What's been your experience in that organization, and of course, Matt Tremont so closely linked to that organization? What's it been like being a part of H2O?
H2O was great. Going up to Williamstown was genuinely made me happy. Like 30 minutes from a Philadelphia airport, I've stayed in that arena at nights because, I mean, I don't pay for a hotel and I'm already there. So that place is a place I'll always hold near and dear to my heart. It being over sucks, but yeah. I mean, sometimes you just gotta roll with it.
You still carry the belt though. Like, you still got that title belt. Still representing. Yeah. No, you carry it to the ring.
Yeah. And, like, yeah. I even defend it because, I mean, I don't just want to have it just to have it. I'm going to defend it. It's how I feel about everything. So it's cool. That place will always be, like, special to me, even though the building is nothing now. It's just a warehouse next to a gym. So, but to me, it'll always be like the H2O Wrestling Center and my second home. So that's kind of what H2O was to me.
We mentioned you're about to run your third show. So what have you learned over the past year running the last two shows and, like, kind of organizing, getting things together?
Quit spending so much money. God, please. God, please. Like, you can talk to people. You can be like, hey, help me out here. And 90% of the time, they will say, okay, let me help you out here. So that's something I've learned, is to not spend so much money. Also, maybe not do 10 matches and give every match 10 minutes and watch them all go over. That's not smart. So this time, we're only doing 9. Not double digits this time. But there's still some back-pocketed things that haven't been announced for my Kinkas Karma. I mean, at this point, before this comes out, I'm sure it'll be announced.
It's coming out tomorrow by the time of this recording. So
it'll be Thursday. Announced tomorrow. Yeah, it'll be announced tomorrow earlier in the day that one of these matches are now a four-way. The Aiden Wright match, funny enough, which changed because Tank is injured. And all the best to Tank, of course. That match now includes Aiden Wright, the 2025 Action Future Showcase winner Tommy Davis, Connor Martin and Hunter Drake. So that match should be super fun. Very excited for that one. That's really all the changes I have left. And then I can finally just be buried 6 feet under after my match for John Wayne Murdoch and live a happy life.
So there's a lot of bangers on that card. I'm looking forward to Hoodfoot and Sean Campbell, personally. I think that that's going to be a really good one. What went through your mind when you put that one together?
God, I hope nobody else runs this match than somebody else ran that match. But no, I was there for the first one at Ruthless Pro. So, and I got to watch it, and it was awesome. On IWTV, if you haven't watched that match is incredible. So please go seek that out in Tampa, Florida. Match is so good. But this time it's going to be different because there will be music playing in the background, hopefully country music. That's why it is called a boot scooting boogie, because boots will be scooting across faces and people will hopefully be boogieing. So I'm excited for it. I'm generally, because I'm looking, I have a poster right here that I'm looking at just to remind myself what the card is. Gary J and Casey Owens. I mean, after SCI, who Casey was the MVP of the whole tournament, I mean, that match should be incredible. Damon and Brett Eisen. That's a match that Brett wanted. So I know it's probably going to be a really fun match. Finesse, Sean Christopher. A match that Finesse requested, so it'll probably be a really fun match. Nick Iggy and Anakin Murphy, two guys who just really wanted to wrestle each other, and it'll be good because they're both great. Jaden and Kerry, father and son, wrestling. I mean, trainer and student. That's pretty nice. BDSM versus Tim Bosby and Dylan Hills. Dylan Hills isn't a wrestler, so it's going to be awesome. But I'm very, very excited. I'm very thankful for the people I surround myself with to be on these shows, because everyone I book's a good person in and out of the ring. So I'm just excited for that show to happen.
And a good person who's been on our show many, many times is Jumpin' Johnny Mosley, aka Mose. He'll be a part of this event as well, right, on commentary. Give us a thoughts on Mose.
Him and CJ Lawler. Mose and I mean, Mose, for my money, is probably the best commentator in the Southeast, mostly because Dylan quit. So, I'm kidding. Mose,
mentor, that's another mentor situation, though.
Yes.
Like Dylan taught Mose. Now Mose has really come into his own. So, yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Mose is, like, the guy. Like, he's traveling around with GCW, doing shows with GCW in Kansas City, Arkansas. And I'm sure he's going to be back at some point. So, for my money, Mose is probably the best commentator in the Southeast. And again, very happy with the people I surround myself with. Him and CJ Lawler are going to be doing shtick the whole time. They're going to be doing bits, and I can't wait. It's going to be exciting.
Do you get to – you mentioned the Boot Scoot and Boogie match. Are you putting the playlist together, or do they have a say in that?
Hell no. I'm giving the whole thing to Hoodfoot and be like, here you go, man.
Okay. Playlist. If you threw on something that, yeah, they might not like, they just stop in the middle. Like, no, we gotta turn that off. We gotta flip to something else here.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do it because I know he'll at least pick songs he likes.
So. Cool. I want to ask about this because it doesn't look like it was seen, but Jensen, if you've seen it, you would be the person who has if it was. So it's called Tax Return Wrestling, which an amazing name for a company. And it's an envelope match. And I'm very curious what this entails, because when I think you and I think envelope, I'm thinking, like, were you guys doing, you know, the Jackass, like, let's do paper cuts in between? Oh, that. So what is the envelope match?
So in wrestling, you get paid with an envelope. You open that envelope and there's cash. So I wrestled Ashlyn Alexander August 9th of last year for Anakin Murphy's show, Tax Return. And the winner of the match got the person's envelope. So it was basically like Money in the Bank, but not a ladder match. So I beat Ashlyn Alexander and I got her envelope. So that's what the envelope match entails.
All right. Not as much death and cuts as I thought there was going to be in that story. But now maybe I've pitched something that people can have an envelope match where let's do some
paper cuts.
I don't know about all that.
I'll spill that one.
There you go. Keep that one in the back pocket for your next show.
Well, this was more like your background, Jeremy. This was like wrestling for pink slips.
Yeah, I get that now. But I see Jameson. I know how his kind of style of match is. I see an envelope match. I'm going crazy here of thinking like what we can do with this stuff.
That's totally fair. We've been talking a lot about, you know, like mentors in the wrestling business and stuff, and you know, somebody obviously that was your trainer that you're very close with now, one half of the IWTV Tag Team Champions with. What's it been like, you know, if you want to go back into like, you know, maybe days of training with Jaden, but also of course I really want to know your feelings of, you know, becoming the IWTV Tag Team Champions with him, because that was like, I mean, y'all beat Fresh Air. I don't think anyone expected it. That live crowd definitely didn't expect it, and it was almost like out of nowhere, you guys are the champs and representing Chattanooga all over the world. So what's it like teaming and becoming champions with your trainer Jaden Newman?
Well, it's nice when you can team with your trainer, because when you're at training, nice shirt.
I forgot I was even wearing this.
We can always just do stuff. Like, me and Jaden, we kind of clicked as soon as I joined TWE, and it was nice. Like, and then we started traveling more together, and we got closer, like, personally. We stayed in the same hotels. We stayed up for 24 hours driving from Williamstown, New Jersey, all the way home. We've stayed up for 22 hours driving all the way to Boston, Massachusetts from Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is a 15-hour drive. Unless you're riding with six people in a five-person car, then it's 22 hours. But it's cool that, like, I get to share experiences with that with him, because now I think that just makes us a better team, and it's definitely helped our chemistry way more. So that's how I feel about it. And we're both SCI tournament winners, which is nice. That's cool. That's different. That's never happened. So I'm just, again, like I say it for like most of my answers, but like I'm really thankful that I can have something like that in my wrestling life.
Well, you could tell how proud Jaden was. I'm sure y'all had, you know, conversations afterwards, but like in the ring, he's like, he presents you with the trophy, and like you can kind of see in the corner of the ring when he's kind of crouched over, there's kind of like this look in his eye, and you can just tell he's really, really proud of, you know, what you've accomplished so quickly. Because I've talked about this on the show before. We talked about it with Jaden on the show, but like years back, I remember Jaden when he was too young to get into sup grap shows. Like, he would get booked for the Basement East, and like they wouldn't let him in until he turned 21. Like, I remember when Jaden was trying to get into the SCI tournament, and he was watching the show from the crowd in his own high school gym, just like, I just want to get on this show, you know? And then like to win it a couple of years ago, and now you win it, I can just tell he was very proud. Like, without having to get too into the conversation, because I'm sure it was personal, like, what was kind of the feedback you've gotten from Jaden specifically about winning that tournament over the weekend?
So, like, there's the moment of, like, me on the ground bowing next to the trophy, because it's really cool that I can share a moment with the greatest wrestler ever lived, Jimmy Rave, that we both now are SCI champions. That's pretty cool. It's nice to have something in common with the greatest. He just kind of crouched down, and he told me that he thinks that I'm one of the best wrestlers in the world, which is something I don't hear very often, and I don't want to hear it. I don't like it when people tell me that. Trust me, I really don't. But hearing that from your own trainer who's traveled the world and who knows like ins and outs of every style of wrestling is very nice to think about. And while saying that, he said, like, I'm not saying this because there's people here. I genuinely think that. That moment, like, kind of little spark under me. Even though, I mean, there's always been a spark. I mean, I've wrestled 300 matches in less than 3 years, which is stupid, and don't do that. But because I'm feeling it right now. But it's cool to hear stuff like that sometimes. And I'm trying to be like him in a ways, because like he can go in any style. Like, he can do the death matches. He can do just the regular matches. He can do an ambition style match. He can do anything. So that's kind of what I want to be known as also as a guy who can do anything in wrestling.
Was Jaden a big reason? I mean, outside of your own talent, of course, but like, was Jaden like a big reason? Like, or can you speak to like how did you get booked so much so quickly, if that makes sense? Like, I mean, because it's unusual to have this amount of matches in this amount of time. So like, obviously you have to have goodwill and someone's got to be vouching for you, being like, you should give this guy a chance on your shows, even though he's brand new. You know what I mean?
Jaden helped a lot. And like, again, knowing Dylan helps a sure. lot too. Even people like Jerry at IWTV, who's kind of taken a liking to me too. That's cool. Knowing guys like that who can get you places and who will get you places. It's also like, in a locker room, I'm smart and I don't do dumb things.
Save it for the ring.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say that. I don't care. But just, and like, this is kind of the only type of advice I would ever give, is just be smart. Be smart and like, don't be afraid of rejection, because along with knowing these people and helping them, I've also sent many of messages to many of promoters, and 90% of them have said no, and that is okay. Because, and I don't mean to like kiss my own butt or anything, but now those 90% are coming back and they're like, hey, can we, but my schedule is just full now. And that's weird. Like, it's nice knowing that people have to announce you for a show all the way in October, because they know that, hey, he's probably going to become a hot commodity after this weekend, after everything that's going on, after all the stuff he... Because I also, and this is something that people tell me, I will promote your show. That's something you don't see in wrestling anymore for some ungodly reason, is people don't promote shows anymore, which is weird. But, and I think that also helps, is seeing the commitment that I will take to, I will retweet every match that's on your show. I will retweet every poster, even if it's not the show. Like, I will promote your show. So it's that, promoting the show, knowing the people, and just not being afraid of rejection. Because if you can just have a really good weekend, like a Casey Owens did, or a Mad Dog, or a Hunter Drake, the people who rejected you are probably going to come crawling back and being like, hey, we made a mistake. And I've had to see it a lot. And it's nice. It feels really good.
On the subject of giving advice, I was wondering if you gave any advice to Tommy Davis after he won the Futures tournament, because you did that last year. You've had an insane year. We've touched on just very little of what you've done, and then you capped it off by winning now the SEI tournament. So I was wondering if you gave him any advice after this weekend.
I didn't really have time to give him any advice, which sounds bad. But I'm very proud of Tommy. One of the best wrestlers in the Midwest at that young is very impressive. When you have guys like a Gary J and Anakin Murphy, Aaron Williams, just an unsigned, I don't care in general. But like, and you have Naptown, and you have all these shows like St. Louis Anarchy. You have all these shows in the Midwest. And him being as good as he is now is scary. Because that kid, like next year, Tommy next year, that's terrifying to think about. So I didn't really give him anything, but like, if I could, it's just be smart, don't be dumb. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of dumb wrestlers out there who do really dumb things. So don't be like that, please, Tommy. You're great. Don't be dumb. You're great.
We've talked about Dylan Hales quite a bit on this show. I've talked many times about how I think Dylan is, as far as like from a fan perspective, I owe a lot of like the reason I became such a big fan of independent wrestling years back. A lot of it was because of stuff he was involved in and stuff. So he's someone I've always got a close eye on, kind of what he's up to and people he gets close with, because I think he has a really good eye for talent. And somebody that he's become very close with recently, you actually were in the Future Showcase tournament finals against last year, Tim Bosby. Tim has had a pretty meteoric rise around the same time as you. I mean, just been around a short amount of time. He's already the Action Wrestling World Champion. Of course, Dylan's managing him now. What are your thoughts on Tim Bosby and, like, his relationship with Dylan Hayes?
Dude, it's nuts. Like, seeing what Tim has done, and that's just a case of – and I'm not saying this is the only reason that he's there, but right place at the right time, because – the Warhorse title change at Action happens. That's nuts. And then the next night, discussions happen. Tim Bosby is now the Action World Champion. And then, like, Tim took that thing and just ran with it. Well, Tim and Dylan both took that thing and ran with it. And they have not slowed down. And I don't see them slowing down anytime soon. So I think Tim being at TWE Action, now New South, is like the greatest thing ever, because him and Dylan are insanely great together. It's so good seeing what they do. Being in the ring for their promos is awesome, and it's hard because you're trying not to crack up and laugh, but being in there, it's really cool because it feels like a moment, and that's what Dylan and Tim are creating, are moments, and it's awesome. Something you don't see anymore in wrestling is moments, and they're making them.
Yeah, I love the pairing. Sorry, go ahead, Jeremy. I didn't want to cut you off. You had a question.
No, you're good.
I did one more follow-up. I love the pairing as well between Tim and Dylan. And you mentioned a second ago New South, and I didn't want to forget to ask before this interview was over. Of course, we've had the big feud with New South and Action that's been going back and forth. What's it been like being a part of that? Because there is so much overlapping talent in both companies, but there are people who, like, are New South guys and are Action guys, and it's been cool seeing that war from a fan perspective. But what's it like being kind of in the middle of all that?
It's really cool because I won't even say last year. At the beginning of, like, the Haas tournament, so March, I would have never thought in my wildest dreams we'd be doing this right now. But here we are, and we're doing this thing. And again, moments. We are creating moments. And being just a small part of this feud as the IWTV World Tag Team Champions with Jaden going up against New South is one of the coolest things in the world to me. Like, this is, like, what I live for, is moments like these. The show hadn't dropped yet where we wrestled unsanctioned against the Dumpster Divers, but the closing segment of that show genuinely is one of, like, the proudest things I've ever been a part of. When you see it, it's awesome. So absolutely go check that out. Americana Night 1, whenever it drops.
Jameson, before we let you go, I'm going to quickly get off of wrestling for a second and ask you for a Steelers prediction for this upcoming season.
God almighty. I gotta be bold. I gotta be confident, I guess.
I mean, how do you feel about Aaron Rodgers, I guess?
How do you feel getting shot in the head with a gun, I guess? I mean,
to say, hey. So I will say this. I'm a lifelong diehard fan of the Minnesota Vikings. I had that weird situation happen years ago where Brett Favre comes to Minnesota at, like, this point of his career, and he showed out for us after a cruddy or a non-memorable season with the Jets. He comes to Minnesota and killed it. So you never know, dude. I mean, I'm just saying, like, we got lucky for a season in pretty much the same situation you're in.
I'm hoping, like, my perfect world is 12-5. That's my perfect world. It ain't gonna be 12-5. I'd love for it to. In a reality, probably 10-7.
That's a respectable prediction.
Is what you need, though, right? Like a playoff win.
Oh, and the playoff? Everyone always talks about how great the AFC North is, and it's really not good. Like, the AFC North has, like, a team. The Bengals always suck. The Browns always underachieve. The Ravens are good, and then we're just, like, there. Like, that's all it is. So I'd really like to say that we're going to win the division, and that's my perfect world. 12 and 5, win the division, but in actuality, probably 5th or 6th seed in the playoffs, hopefully. That's something
I, respect. That's a reasonable prediction, because like if you would ask me, like, hey, what do you think the Vikings are doing this year? Oh, 17-0 Super Bowl. I mean, it's not even – yeah. J.J. McCarthy, first year starting, is going to go off. J.J. to J.J. all day. I mean, come on. But
no, I mean, we have – old DK Metcalf, old Aaron Rodgers. We have old everyone else. I mean, if we're giving out the highest age average, we might have a shot. But, like, if we're giving out actual football physicality, I mean, who knows, I guess. It's just kind of up in the air.
And Mike Tomlin's been there forever at this point, too. It's wild. I remember, like, when he became a head coach. And, like, now it's like, I mean, this makes me feel old, but – yeah, I it's going to be interesting because it sounds like Rodgers is just one and done. It's like one final ride, and then y'all are going to have to figure it out next year. So
I'm so happy it's one and done. Yeah. I'm happy. That was the shining light at the end of the tunnel, was that it's one and done. I was, okay, we'll go with you for 1 year. But Mike Tomlin is like the one reason I think we're going to go 10-7. And that's and TJ Watt, but that's it.
Beast.
Mike Tomlin, yeah. TJ Watt. And the rest are old and there. Yeah. I mean.
Jameson, we appreciate you joining us here tonight. Let everybody know where they can find you at, what you got coming up.
Oh, coming up. Let's just talk about this weekend, I guess. This Friday, we got Action Wrestling, IWTV World Tag Team Titles on the line versus the Ugly Sucklings. That's White Mike and Rob Killjoy. That's going to be cool. Then on Saturday, I am defending the IWTV World Tag Team Champions with Jaden Newman versus Brett Isom and Sean Campbell of Killer Be Killed. That's going to hurt. And then Sunday, I am not defending the IWTV World Tag Team Championships. I'm gunning for the American Deathmatch World Championship against John Wayne Murdoch on a show that I'm running. That 5 p.m. live on IWTV. Very excited for it. There's a lot of variety on this show, and that's what I gun for, is variety. So that's kind of the weekend I have coming up. And then next week, KFW NWA territory, Boston for ICW and Beyond Wrestling. So got a lot coming up.
Awesome. What about merch?
Merch, I mean, hey, doesn't exist yet, but it'll happen.
That's why I was asking. I was surprised. You need merch. You need merch. I'll write Jameson Show.
I really do. The only cool PWTs won't give me a store for some reason, and I don't know why. And I've applied like 7 times, so I'm to the point where I'm just probably gonna find something else. So I don't know. The 4825 shirts are on Jaden's website. So, I mean, if you want to support that way, there's that way to do that. Buy every independent wrestler's merch. It helps a lot. That would be cool if that happens.
Jameson, we appreciate you joining us here tonight again. Thank you. Guys, links are below to check out what Jameson's got coming up. And everybody, we'll be right back here on The Spotlight.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.